Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, we just follow on today from where we finished yesterday. We were dealing with John chapter 11, the chapter that deals with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We got as far as the point where the Lord had arrived and was in conversation with Martha. Now, before we read from the Scriptures, let us bow again for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee again. We're never ashamed to acknowledge our need of Thee. And we do pray that today Thou shalt look upon the face of Thine anointed at Thy right hand, and for His sake grant a blessing upon all the needy ones today. Remember those who are listening now to this broadcast, and grant that the truth to be made known shall come fresh to each of them, that Thy people may be encouraged, and that some struggling soul today may find the Savior. We ask these things in the Lord's precious name. Amen. Now let us take up now from the place where we finished yesterday. We were dealing with the great fact that the Lord had come to the place where Lazarus was dead. And He had stated His claim, I am the resurrection and the life. Now let me read at verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then she took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Sure the Lord will bless to us now the reading of these verses. We were dealing then with the crisis in the Bethany home, and the claim of the Lord Jesus that he was the resurrection and the life. Now I want to direct your attention now, first of all, to verse 28, the call of the Lord Jesus. One sister going to another, and she's saying this, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful day it must have been, the day that Jesus came to Bethany. But what a wonderful, glorious day it was, when the Lord Jesus came down from heaven and came to Bethlehem. But what a wonderful day it is when the message of the Lord Jesus reaches the heart of any poor struggling sinner. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Friend, have you ever thought that he who was born at Bethlehem was the Master? He's the Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth. The Master of the waves. The Master of time. The Master of all things. Oh, when you think of the coming of the Master, he came into enemy territory in order to help his friends. He came to display his power over the greatest enemy, death. The Master is come. Think of the call of the Master. He calleth for thee. He called Mary from her place of sorrow. He called her to witness his power in resurrection. Friend, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Let me ask you, can you remember the first time in your life when you heard, as it were, the call of the Master? Perhaps you were sitting as a child in a Sunday school class and you felt the knock of the nail-pierced hand at your heart's door and you heard the call of the Master reaching the ear of your soul. The Master was calling. He called you when you were young. Perhaps you turned away from the call. You went on through life. And later on, he called again. You've heard the call of the Master time and time again, but up till now you have not responded. At the call of the Master, Mary moved. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. You see, Martha went out to meet the Master whenever she heard he was coming. No one required to prompt Martha. She simply ran out to meet him. But when you come to Mary, her sister almost had to plead with her and give her the message, telling her sister, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And then Mary responded and went out to the Master. When you reach the case of Lazarus, here it's a command. He commanded him with a voice of authority, as we'll see in a moment or two. But at the present time, when we read verse 8, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Friend, I don't know how often the Master has called you. It may be that he called you in sickness. It may be that he called you in health. He's called you as the years were rolling past. But up till now, you've never responded. I wonder why. Let us move on a little and notice the compassion of the Lord Jesus. You know, verse 35 is looked upon as being the shortest verse in the Bible, a verse of two words. But oh, how intense these words can be. Jesus wept. Here is the expression of compassion, the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Three times in the New Testament we read of the Lord Jesus weeping. He wept tears of sadness when he looked down upon the city of Jerusalem. There he came over, as it were, along the Mount of Olives. And he reached the part where he could look over on the city. And as he looked over on the city, he began to weep. And as he wept, this is what he said, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side." See, the Lord Jesus Christ was thinking of the day when the people of Jerusalem would be faced with trouble. He wept over that city. That's what it says. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He was looking at the city of Jerusalem with its inhabitants, and he saw them like a lot of chickens with no hen to protect them. And he said, I would have gathered thee as a hen doth gather a brood under her wings, but you would not. Oh, my friend, he wept. He wept tears of sadness when he looked down upon a city that was rejecting him. But here in John chapter 11, it's tears of sympathy when he went to the grave of Lazarus and he saw his sister Mary. She who had been bereaved was weeping. She was weeping tears of sorrow. And the Lord was able to enter into sympathy with her. Some people have said, how could he sympathize with her? Well, I'll tell you why. I believe that somewhere along the line, during his lifetime, before he went out in his public ministry, I believe that Joseph, the carpenter, had died. The Lord Jesus had to assume the responsibility for the home up in Nazareth, had to assume the responsibility for Mary, his mother. He knew something about bereavement. Here he's able in a practical way to enter into it, and he shed tears of sympathy when he went to the grave of Lazarus. The sisters were weeping. The mourners were weeping. And we have these tremendous words, Jesus wept. Then again, when you come to the Garden of Gethsemane, there I believe that he wept again. My reason for believing that is what we have in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. See, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed there. As he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There he shed tears as he offered his prayers in the garden. Tears of suffering, pouring forth his soul unto death. So the Lord Jesus Christ wept. Jesus wept. He wept tears of sadness when he looked upon that unrepentant city of Jerusalem. He wept tears of sympathy when he went to the grave of his friend Lazarus down in Bethany. He wept tears of suffering when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can see why the scriptures say that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he passed through these things. Oh, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, let me remind you again, there was a crisis in the Bethany home. The Lord Jesus had come that day to Bethany. He stated his claim, I am the resurrection and the life. Mary heard the call through the lips of her sister, the Master is come and calleth for thee. What a great day that must have been for Mary. And when she looked upon the Savior as he shed those tears of sympathy, oh, the compassion expressed in those tears. But now we come to the vital part of this great chapter. They lead him to the tomb, and while he's at the tomb, he says, take ye away the stone. Now remember this, he had been dead 4 days. Oh, there was no embalming process then. The day they died, that was the day they were buried. And his sister looks and she says, now he's been dead 4 days. Corruption has already set in. But nevertheless, they took away the stone. And having taken away the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ said, now if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by us said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now remember this, Lazarus was his friend, For did not they send a message to him, saying, He whom thou lovest is dead? Lazarus was in difficulty at that time, but he was a friend and was loved. My friend, remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ may look upon us as friends. He may love us, and yet we may find ourselves in difficulties. Lazarus was in difficulty, although the Lord Jesus Christ was his friend, and although the Lord Jesus Christ loved him, nevertheless he was in difficulty. There are difficulties to be faced at some time or another along the road of life. And perhaps one of the great difficulties in life is the difficulty of sickness. Now you know these people who tell you that you should never be sick. I've often had the desire to follow through some of the records of their lives. I wonder how many of them suffered from some kind of sicknesses. I must say this, I have seen them and so have you. These people who tell you that it's wrong for any person to be sick, there's no need for you to be sick. You can be healed of all manner of diseases, so they tell you. Yet isn't it a strange thing that before they can lift the word and read to you, or before they can read the letters, they've got to put on their glasses? Could you tell me why it is they've got to wear glasses? If there's no need to have any sickness, why do they have weakness in the eyes? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Yes, my friend, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you're going to face difficulties in life. Lazarus was the friend of the Lord Jesus, and he had the Lord Jesus as his friend, and he was loved by him, but he was in difficulty. He was sick. Not only so, Lazarus was dead and was buried, but he received life from the life giver. I am the resurrection and the life. And he says, your brother shall rise again. And then he comes to this point, verse 43, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. This is one of the miracles specially singled out in John's Gospel. This is the seventh sign. It's the raising of the dead. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. He received life, and he received life from the life giver. Now let me apply these two things to all my listeners today. Friend, you may be in difficulty. You may not know the Savior. You may still be in your sins, and your sins may have landed you in greater difficulty. You may be in such difficulty today you don't know the way out. You need a friend, don't you? And you need a friend that can stick closer than a brother. Maybe your brothers have turned against you. Maybe those that you thought were your friends have turned against you. You're in difficulty. You need a friend like Jesus. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to know something about his love. He loves you even when you're his enemy. But you need to be his friend. Lazarus was dead. And the Bible says that you may be dead in trespasses and in sins. But the Epistle to the Ephesians tells us this, that you who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened together. That is, he's given you life. And if I'm speaking to someone today who hasn't yet trusted Christ, and you're still dead in trespasses and sins, you're living a defeated life. The enemy has got you down. And what you need is new life. You need the life that Christ can give, and the life that Christ alone can give. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He received life from the life giver. It's a remarkable thing, this, how a man who is dead in trespasses and sins can be brought to the point where he can hear the voice of the Son of God, and in responding to that voice, he can live. Not only was Lazarus dead, but Lazarus was in darkness. See, they put him in a tomb. It was a cave, and they rolled the stone against it. He was in the place of darkness. But when the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth from the place of darkness, and he was brought out into the light. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am the light of the world? Not only is there the life giver, but he's the light. And so when Lazarus was raised, he was raised from the place of death and brought to the place of life. He was raised from the place of darkness and brought out to the place of light. and the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and he's calling for you. Remember, he's a sympathetic Saviour. He can sympathise with you in all your need. He can come and meet you with all your difficulties. He's a friend that loves you. He can come to you although you're dead in trespasses and sins and you've got no power, my friend, to help yourself. What can a dead man do to help himself? What can one who is dead in trespasses and sins do to help himself? Not a thing. He can't raise a little finger to effect his own salvation. Christ has died for him. Christ has effected that salvation. What you need, my friend, is a Savior. You need to repent of your sins and trust Christ. You're still living in nature's darkness if you're living without Christ. And because you're in nature's darkness and the devil has blinded the minds of all them that believe not, you need the light of the glorious gospel to shine in unto you. And he brought Lazarus out of the place of darkness into the place of light. But when he came out, he was still bound with the grave clothes. You know, he didn't put those grave clothes on himself. Someone else put them on him. They bound him up with the grave clothes and put him in the tomb. But now, when he came forth, this is what the Lord Jesus said unto them at the end of verse 44. Loose him and let him go. You see, he that was dead came forth, but he was bound hand and foot. A man that's bound by the hands can't do any work. And a man that's bound by his feet can't walk. And so he needs to be loose in order to walk and in order to work. Lazarus was bound with grave clothes, but he was given liberty. He said, loose him and let him go. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do for Lazarus, he's able to do for all of us today. You see, he is the resurrection and the life. This again is the seventh sign or the seventh miracle that John brings forth in order to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's not just a matter of recording these things to give a beautiful story that we can read. These are recorded for the truth of God to reach our hearts, that we may know that there is a Savior who is able to come to us in all our difficulties, a Savior who is able to conquer death, a Savior who is able to come and deliver us out of all our troubles. He can lift us out of our difficulties. He can bring us out of the place of spiritual death into the place of spiritual life. He can take us out of the place of spiritual darkness into the new atmosphere of spiritual light. He can bring us out of the place where we're bound with the grave clothes of sin. He can bring us out to the place of perfect liberty. Loose him and let him go. Now let me remind you again that Martha went out to meet the Savior when she heard he was coming. She only heard with the ear that he's coming. She couldn't wait till he came. She ran out to meet him. But Mary went out to meet him when she was specially called. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Lazarus came forth when Christ commanded him with the voice of authority. I ask you, my friend, what about you? Will you hear his voice and come? Will you come when someone pleads with you to come? Or are you waiting to hear the command, and the Lord commands all men everywhere to repent?